You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone. It is a Thanksgiving weekend episode.
Yes, Thanksgiving it is. And I hope everybody had a fabulous, fabulous spread of food, because that is, in this country, how a lot of us celebrate Thanksgiving Day.
It's eat as much as you can. I think it's that's what the day is.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
You learned a little something about tryptophan. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, we were watching a TV show and they said that tryptophan, though it does exist in Turkey, it is not the thing that normally causes people to fall asleep. They said there's actually more tryptophan in cheese than there is in turkey. They said one of the reasons why you do fall asleep after eating a turkey dinner is A, you overate, and B, you probably drank a little wine or beer or alcohol, and those two combinations make
give
you fall asleep.
Yeah. Give you fat bellyitis, which in turn makes you sleepy.
Which I makes totally you real sleepy.
And they also, something else they said on that show was that people work for so many days to prepare for that meal. They're up early in the morning that day, starting the turkey in the oven. And, you know, they're preparing and shopping and getting everything they need for a house full of people. And that, you know, that wears you out too. And by the time the day comes, you're exhausted.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I always thought that it was the tryptophan, and I'm like, well, how come I can eat turkey all year round and never feel that sleepy
afterwards?
Never have
that issue.
Yeah.
Because you don't quite stuff yourself so much.
Yeah, exactly. You don't eat so much that you can't even move. And the thing that really is, I think, for me, I noticed, I experienced it this past Thanksgiving Day, is the food is so good that you don't want to stop eating.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You're full. I was full. But I was like,
many
man,
times. You were full after the first plate, let alone the
I
want to
go for seconds. So I went for seconds, and then all of a sudden,
ginormous pumpkin cheesecake dessert was fabulous. Paula Regis, you did a great job.
Paula Regis.
Plug,
and
plug.
Kevin, thank you guys for having us over.
So listen, I found this thing. I thought this was pretty cool. There's an event coming on December 2nd, and it has to do with giving. And so it led me to Giving Facts, the Holiday Giving Guide. These are stats of what happened in 2013. And so they're hoping that all these numbers will greatly increase for 2014. But what I found really interesting is, you know, we talk a lot about helping out charities and causes that you believe in on this show. And these were some really great stats to, and that I found them to be very encouraging. What I mean by that is, one example, there were 4,000 charities that this group basically monitored for a year. And what they learned was that 75% of the money that these people are pulling in for all 4,000 charities went right back into the causes that they started their charities for. 25% on average went into, you know, buying advertising and blah, blah, blah. But I thought that that was a really great number, because I remember years ago in Florida that they were saying that less than 20% of monies being collected through charities was going to the cause. And so to see 75%, I think that is really, really, really encouraging.
That's a great number, because, you know, there have been scams in the past or things that have come up in the past saying that, you know, all this money that you're giving to the animal,
you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, the animal society or something like that, it's actually going to the pockets of the CEOs. So it's great to know that there is a shift happening and that the money's actually going out there doing things that it has to do. So that's great to know. And, you know, that reminds me of Skid Row, Olivia Artavia that we had on here. And she talks about that, how she stopped giving to charities and then she took it upon herself to almost
give to the people directly,
create her own charity, and she just starts going to the streets.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing. She just took it upon herself to say, you know what?
Her
I'm going to do it myself.
Her situation was really interesting too, and I'll just share that for a second. She was getting diapers, new packages of diapers from all kinds of different companies, and she was bringing them down to social services in downtown L.A., And she specifically had known about several young mothers and their children that were living on the streets that were in need of the diaper. So she would send them over to the services to grab them, and the services would tell these people they didn't have any.
Yeah, after she had dropped some off.
After she had dropped off hundreds of packages.
Right.
So that was what shifted it for her. But I know there was a time when there was a lot of that stuff going on, and I know that the government made some significant shifts, and towns and cities did as well. And so obviously it's made a difference, because here we're looking at 2013 and 75% of the stuff is going where it's supposed to.
That's great.
Now,
that
I also wanted to tell you.
Tell us.
Oh, this is really
tell
wacky.
Us, oh guru.
All right.
This guru of the internet. Go ahead.
One in every 28 children now has a parent in jail or prison. Why is that stat on here of a giving fact?
That's really interesting.
Oh, my God.
One in 28
me.
Children have a parent in jail.
That is just stunning. And why is that even on here? Okay.
Was that something you wanted to share with us? Or was that
I didn't. It just shocked me. It stunned me. Americans give, on average, about 3% of their income to charity. This figure hasn't budged in decades.
Decades.
3%. That's it.
Hmm.
Contradictions. Contributions are deductible in the year they are made. So you can, any donation you make, whether it's to Goodwill or to a local charity of whatever name, if you get your little slip or you have something that shows that you donated, you can deduct it from your taxes.
Yeah, and I've done that every year. I've always been able to give to Salvation Army or Goodwill, and I've always taken those deductibles. So, I mean, again, working independently, I think it's maybe easier to do that than if you work for a company, because the company gives you the paycheck and already takes out all these taxes and takes out all this money from you.
Giving to the most popular charities in the country grew by 11% last year.
Does it say which ones are most popular?
There's 28 of them. Individuals spent less time volunteering, however.
Hmm. Time seems to be more valuable these days than money.
But volunteers contributed 12.7 billion hours nonetheless.
Wow.
Wow. That 12.7 billion hours they estimate at $259 billion in labor they would have paid.
Well, I got to say that we donate a lot of our time every time we go out and play for a different cause. So we've definitely done our share this year, as we've done every year. And we obviously love it, and we totally enjoy it. And I'm very thankful for the band that I have, musicians that I perform with, that they are willing to give of their time also every time we reach out. Actually, we were just asked to perform at a Narcotics Anonymous organization. That's something that we're going to be setting up.
Well, and we also were just asked through Emerging Leaders to work with them on a grant on how music helps heal the soul and the benefits of music to illness in the body.
Well, we're going to be talking about music on this episode, actually.
It's true.
We're going to do the top 20 thankful songs. So if you thought there was not a Thanksgiving song per se, there's songs about gratitude and being thankful. So we're going to run down a top 20 list and play little snippets of the song later on in the show.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So just to tell you a couple more little ditties here before we move on from this subject.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest tips that people give for the holiday season is an average of $50. And usually that goes to the house cleaner. 64% of Americans have a house cleaner.
Really?
I would like to be in that 64%.
Yes. Yes. Count me. 64%. So more than 64% half?
64% have a house cleaner, but that's probably like their child, their mother. You know what I'm saying?
Not necessarily,
wow,
but 64%. More than half.
64%. How lucky. Lucky,
that's
lucky.
Really interesting. I wouldn't think, but you know what? I can understand that, because I think what happens is both parents are working these days, and so they don't have time to take care of the house. It's not the way it used to be. Like my mom, when we were four little kids, she worked a job, and then when I was born, there was three of us. So she's like, "Okay, I got to stay home and watch these guys." So it's not like that anymore. Nowadays, two parents have to work to raise a child. And so what happens is the housework goes, forget it, I don't have time to clean that.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
It makes sense.
So the wealthiest Americans are giving a smaller share of their income to charity, while the poor and middle class Americans are digging deeper into their wallets. According to a new Chronicle analysis of the IRS data, it shows that charitable giving has been changed by the Great Recession. The wealthiest Americans who earned $200,000 or more have reduced their share and sharing income by 5%. Americans who earned less than $100,000 have increased by 5%.
Wow.
Look who's showing who about having a big heart.
Well, it's shifting. And you know what? Maybe people are realizing that they don't need to hoard their money. They can give it away and live in the state of abundance and realize that if you give it away, it comes back around.
And what they're saying, this is the final one I'm going to do here. What they're saying is there's a handful of things that you should really concentrate on donating to for the sake of the stability of America.
Okay.
One of them is education, giving to education charities. Donating to human services charities, which are things like the Red Cross and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Health charity foundations, charities that focus on environment and animals, and food-related charities. Definitely food-related. On this chart here, it shows that food-related charities get the least amount of help. However, 49.1 million Americans live in an insecure food situation within their household.
Wow.
50 million Americans are having issues feeding themselves, and we're not giving to food charities.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't realize that. They just don't see it. You don't see it. And maybe that, you know, it doesn't get enough advertisement. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to shine some light on some of these.
33 million things. Adults and 15 million children are struggling in America with feeding themselves.
Wow.
So.
Well, there's
Let's
a billboard.
Talk about Thanksgiving and giving of food and love and light.
I was going to say there's a billboard that is up right around town that it says one out of five kids faces an empty refrigerator.
Yeah.
Every night.
Let me say this is a great time to talk about Sean and Tracy Williams from Love All Humans.
Yes. Let's talk about them.
They do something really cool every year, and they do it at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. They go to an establishment, and they either buy a bunch of food, fresh hamburgers or things like that, or they give them certificates. This year, they got $105 certificates, $500 worth of food certificates, and went downtown to the rougher areas of Los Angeles where the people are on the streets living, and they passed them out.
Which I think is awesome. And I remember talking to Sean about this, and he said, the reason why he does it on a card and he does it for a place to eat is that way they can't exchange it for anything else. They just go like, hey, man, if you're hungry, here's a way to go right to this place. If it's Jack in the Box or if it's wherever they went and got their cards from, and they could use it when they need it. Because if you hand somebody some food and they're not hungry at that moment, they might just, you know, might go bad or whatever. So I thought, what a great, great idea.
Well, and I believe, I'm pretty sure this is the story, but I believe that one year they had tried to go and get gift certificates from somewhere, like McDonald's, I think it was, and the establishment didn't want a whole bunch of homeless people showing up to get food, so they told them no. And it was either they had gone to get certificates, or they had gone and the establishment said, here, take them the sandwiches. It was something like that, where they didn't want all these homeless guys showing up on their doorstep to eat.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
I mean,
wow. For
you
the
know,
sake
these
of
are
the almighty dollar.
I know, but these are all different franchises, so we can't we can't say that it's
no,
a
it's
particular
not a bashing
place.
Thing. It's just interesting how, you know, people and programs work.
Yeah.
They talk about helping, but they don't actually help. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you to Sean and Tracy, because you guys are awesome doing that type of thing. You always, always, always go out and support your communities. A really shining light for people who don't know Love All Humans. Definitely check these guys out. They're doing some really cutting edge, great, great social media work to let people know that we are all human and we should all love each other. So, yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when mm-hmm. we come back, we have a few more fun, entertaining games to play with music. And I look forward to hearing that top 20 Thanksgiving thank you happy song list.
That's a nice way of saying it. We'll be right back.
Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Glass stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
So we are back, and our next segment is going to be a whole lot of fun because we found the top 20 list of best Thanksgiving songs.
Now, I never thought they had Thanksgiving
Neither
songs.
Neither did I. It was quite the surprise. It's more of, it should say, giving thanks songs.
Right, right, which makes more sense. But again, you know, these are songs that are all about gratitude and all about giving thanks. So they do qualify for Thanksgiving songs. So the first song in the top 20 countdown, and this is according to a Time Out New York, it's a list that they have put together, is Thank You Friends by Big Star. It's not a song that I'm familiar with, but here's a little snippet of it. Check it out.
So those guys were known as the Memphis Rockers, that band Big Star. Not somebody I was familiar with, but we got to share all the songs we learn about, right, that are happy and thankful. And so the next one on the list, I think just about all of us have heard of. Charlie Brown's holiday hits, A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
You know, that is a song that I can listen to the whole thing. It's only 2.5 minutes long, but it definitely draws you in and brings me back to my childhood.
1973 would have been your childhood, my friend. That was when the Peanuts released this song. Yay, that's awesome. A fun song.
Coming in at number 18, it's John Pacino with Grateful.
He was a cabaret guy. He was known for doing slow ballads and cabaret-style music. I'm not familiar with his song. You can definitely look it up. That's Grateful by John Pacino.
And next, we have a band called The Descendants. It is a California pop punk band. Again, I have never heard of these guys, but they made the top 10 list. And
interesting that it went from R&B to a cabaret ballad guy to a pop.
Well, you know, these again, this is a New York
list, yeah.
List, and I guess these guys just obviously they're all across the board, which is great because it gives you exposure to new material.
So but the next one is I Thank You, and that's by Sam and Dave. Sam and Dave are an R&B duo.
Yeah, great song. This is something I definitely want to play a little bit of. Check it out.
Remember this song because it was covered by ZZ Top.
Yes, it was a great version of ZZ Top. Number 15, Sly and the Family Stone, one of my all-time favorite
Sly.
Songs.
Sly. Who doesn't remember Sly?
Yeah, well, he's so slick. That's why he's Sly. But this
he
is,
was in the number one spot on the charts with this song through the 60s and the 70s for 5 weeks in a row.
Really?
That was a big deal back then.
Yeah, it's a great song. Check it out. I want to thank you for being myself again.
Again.
Fingers start shaking. I begin to run. Bullets start chasing. I begin to stop.
On the list, we have Mr. Otis Redding. I Want to Thank You. Do you guys remember that song? 1966. Coming from the Try a Little Tenderness. And the next up after that is
Johnny Lang with Johnny Michael McDonald. Lang. Now, this is a song that I had never heard before, but apparently it was on his fifth solo album for Johnny Lang. And I started playing it and I said, wow, what a great song. So I definitely want you guys to check this out.
Now, I had met Johnny Lang in at a concert I was working with a promoter in Sarasota, Florida. And Johnny, it was one of his first years of just becoming popular. And I hadn't met him before. And didn't see who was sitting on the stage singing. I was backstage, and I thought that the person on stage singing and performing named Johnny Lang was probably somewhere around 35 to 45.
Yeah.
And when I came out on the stage, he was a teenager with such a soulful voice. And for him to do a duet with Michael McDonald, what a perfect combination of vocals.
Yeah. Great song. Check it out.
Someone's standing.
Thankful, thankful.
So coming in at number 12, it's Mr. Bob Marley, the godfather of reggae, and he's got a song called Give Thanks and Praise that came out in 1977.
You know, that's got to be a good song.
Yes.
Earth, Wind, and Fire also had a song called Gratitude.
And that is one of my favorites that we're going to play a little bit.
You have a lot of favorites in this list. That's your third favorite.
Yeah. Well, this was from 1975. It's a lot of these 70s songs that bring me back to my childhood that have some really cool grooves. This is Gratitude by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Coming in at number 10, it's Jay-Z with Thank You. It's a cool little song that he's dedicated to all of his fans. Since the guy has been out there for a number of years, he decided to give thanks to his following, if you will.
I think it's great that guys do that. Another band that did that happens to be coming in right behind them with another song called Thank You, and that's Boyz II Men, a 90s Philly-based R&B quartet doo-wop band, Boyz II Men. But they did the same thing. They did a song to thank their fans, also called Thank You.
ABBA comes in at number 8 with Thank You for the Music. So it's a totally different twist on what their gratitude is all about, but they're thankful for what they have, and that is the music.
And ABBA is a Swedish pop band. They actually had a musical written on Broadway for their band and all of their music. So those guys writing a thank you song, I'm sure, are very grateful for the music and what it's done for them in the United States.
Coming in at number 7, it's Ella Fitzgerald with Thanks for the Memories.
This is a fabulous song, and this is like a staple song. 1938, Bob Hope had this song on his show. And Thanks for the Memories is the perfect soundtrack for all your fall nostalgia needs.
Let's check out a little snippet quote, of it. Here it is.
Thanks for the memory of candlelight and wine, castles on the Rhine, the Parthenon and Momentum, the Hudson River line. How lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of rainy afternoons, swingy Harlem tunes, and motor trips and burning lips and burning toast and prunes. How lovely it was.
Coming in at number 6, it's Bon Jovi with Thank You for Loving Me.
Bon Jovi, this song they actually did while sitting on Rome's Trevi Fountain. We've been in that spot before.
Yeah, I noticed the video is pretty cool. It's actually them in Rome. It's him and Richie Sambora pretending to write the song out in front. And having been there, and we actually shot one of our own videos for Best Case Scenario, that piazza is usually like packed with people. So these guys must have went there sometime in the winter. It definitely wasn't in the summer months for them.
That
to
or
have
they
it.
Had a great crack security team like you did that kept the fans away so we could film.
Yeah, well, they would have had to pay pretty big bucks to keep the people away from this particular fountain. It's one of the
yeah, it's enormous and it's beautiful, beautiful.
best known places in Rome, but it's a really cool song. It's Thank You for Loving Me by Bon Jovi, and that again is coming in at number 6.
And up next is the Talking Heads. They always had the craziest videos. They did a song called Thank You for Sending Me an Angel.
Yep, and Talking Heads are more of that. It's really interesting because this list seems to go all over the place.
This is a 1978 song.
Yeah, again, going back to the 70s.
Yeah, and you had Ella Fitzgerald in the 30s, you know?
Mm-hmm. Number 4 is Dido with Thank You.
I remember these guys.
Now, Eminem is the one that took the verse from this song and put it into his rap song, and everyone started to discover who Dido was, and then she actually came out with her song, Thank You. What was really interesting for me was I always thought the verse was the chorus because that's how he used it in his song, how Eminem used it. He used the verse as a chorus, but then you listen to the song, you realize it's different.
Ah, she actually, she wrote this song as a thank you to her lawyer, who was her boyfriend, interestingly enough. And this was written in 2000.
So let's check that out, Dido. Coming in at number 3, it's Alanis Morissette with Thank You.
Now, you know, this is really interesting because this song, she had just returned from a 6-week goddess trip, as she called it. She went to India with her mom and her friends in 1996. And when she returned from that 6-week trip, she wrote a song called Thank You.
Yep, and it's all about gratitude. And it's really interesting in this video also, she appears naked throughout the entire video to show her vulnerability, she said. That she just wanted to fully expose herself. And this is the way she did it back in the 90s. This is Alanis Morissette with Thank You.
Thank you, India.
Coming in at number 2 of the top 20 Thanksgiving songs, it's the Pastels.
You know, I got to say, I was a bit shocked that this came in at number 2. A, I've never heard of them. B, It's a little droney for my taste.
Well, again, this isn't our list. This is a list from the from the website Time Out.
You'd think we, you know, somebody would have heard of these guys, but honestly, what the caption says about these guys is it's a timid guitar player that it is, strumming an adolescent love affair. Okay, well, that makes a little more sense. His lyrics are, "It may be wintertime, but baby, it's super fine. Baby, you know you're getting close to my heart."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's play this and you guys form your own opinion.
Yeah, let's just.
Your thoughts. Number two.
This is number two of the Pastels. Let's just check it out. And so that brings us to the number one spot.
And let's have a drum roll, please. Yes.
Number one, Thanksgiving songs, according to New York Time Out website, is, wait for it, that's called a dramatic pause, everyone. It's Andrew Gold.
Who?
Thank You for Being a Friend.
You guys,
now, you might have heard this
song
a thousand times from the Golden Girls.
Yes, the Golden Girls. Late 80s, early 90s, Miami's quirkiest broads, the Golden Girls. This was their theme song.
Yeah, so this is a fun song to check out. And again, you've probably heard it a thousand times, but maybe you've never heard the entire song. Here it is, Andrew Gold performing it live. Thank You for Being a Friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Fun little segment, I have to say. I didn't really realize there was thank you Thanksgiving songs and that many of them, but it's a great thing to talk about gratitude and show people that you appreciate. And what better way, if you're a musician who's touching millions of people, what a better way to get a thank you song across than through music, you know? So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about beefing up your willpower, because you know, the next thing that comes around is another holiday full of lots more food, and then another holiday, New Year's Eve, more food again, and the next thing you know, we're all looking for our willpower. So here's a way to get started, coming up.
Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook /GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
So we are back, and we are back talking about willpower, because the next bunch of holidays all involve nothing but a whole lot of eating and drinking and having a great old time, which always puts the weight on a holiday. And what happens in the beginning of the year? New Year's resolutions. You know what that means. Mm-hmm. Looking for willpower. Mm-hmm. How can I do blank on my New Year's resolution list? Well, we have found on a website called BeliefNet, BeliefNet. I like to look at what these guys have because they always have some positive stuff. So they have 9 tips to beef up your willpower for the first quarter of the year. Ready, Tony?
I'm ready.
Boost your willpower by breaking goals into smaller steps, end procrastination, and accept failure as a positive force.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times what we do is we look at our failures and we just start focusing on that. And the real reality is if you see that failure as another step towards accomplishing your goal, it moves you that much closer to your goal as opposed to wallowing in the unaccomplishment,
sorrow hole.
The sorrow of it. So
yeah.
Taking that mistake, if you will, and looking at it and learning from it will move you ahead so much quicker.
Absolutely. And, you know, breaking goals down into smaller steps, that always makes things easier. Whether it's for business, home schedule for the kids, or, you know, just a personal goal of or some project you're working on, it's always a lot easier to break things down so that it doesn't look like it's quite such a, an undertaking of magnificence. Instead, oh, I just need to do this little part first.
So, I know what that's all about.
Yeah. And what they're saying next is make a decision. And for some people, that's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. They hem-haw and they go back and forth and they talk themselves into it. Then they talk themselves out of it. Then they talk themselves back into it and then back out of it. This says decide why you want to boost your willpower. Make a decision as to why do you want to do this? Why do you want to get yourself ready for a certain goal that's coming up? How does it serve you? How does it serve your goal? Make a decision and reboot your willpower. Set up parameters to get yourself started. Well, the first week I'm going to do XYZ. The second week I'm going to do XYZ. That type of thing.
That's XYZ twice.
It is.
That's because you didn't get it done the first one.
Could be double X, double Y, and double Z.
Maybe we'll do X first, then Y, and then Z. That's how you break it into small, biteable parts.
There you go. Set small goals. If you set your goal too large, then it becomes overwhelming. That's exactly what I was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Take it from the saving money scenario, for instance. Remember when you have tried to save money for a new car or a vacation? You took a certain amount of money out of your earnings to build a cash flow. It works the same way with creating goals and breaking them into smaller goals so they're easier to accomplish.
That makes sense. Again, you know, it's breaking it down so that way you feel like you've actually accomplished something.
Yeah, you can give some self-gratitude when you get past these certain hurdles that are...
And give yourself rewards for that. I think a lot of times...
Like an ice cream cone.
Like an ice cream cone. you know, little things like, you know, if you're doing data entry or whatever, at least
walk
you can
away.
Say, hey, after I've put in X amount of items or after I've worked 1 hour, I'm going to get up and stretch or walk around or grab something to eat or... something, so that way you have something to look forward to. Otherwise, you're just going to sit there on the grind and just go, wow, this is never ending.
And you don't want your project to be a grind ever. So, you know, it's a great way to get you to the next step. Procrastination is not a great way to get you to the next step. Do something you've never done before, because procrastination is a killer. If you dread doing laundry, for example, after you get home from work, then push yourself to do it on purpose. It's a great way to build your willpower to do tasks, tough tasks, even when you don't feel like it. So, yeah, good point. If you know that, oh man, I really hate to do this part of the project that needs to be done, and you put it off and you put it off and you put it off, that also means you're delaying your project from being completed. So take a little bite of it. Break that part that you procrastinate over into smaller sections and take a little bite at a time. And once you're done with that little bite, reward yourself.
So you only have to do the whites first and then do the colors?
Yeah, and maybe only the socks first, and maybe you do the undies later.
Okay.
Self-control is the next one. Exercising self-control is a great way to strengthen your willpower. Little things like declining a piece of cake during a diet or cap spending on a certain money project helps to make progress in additional areas. Any progress you make when you're trying to experience willpower and the strengthening of is a bonus, whether it's towards that particular project or any other that's going on.
That is very good advice.
Know your weakness. Know your weakness so you're not tempted to give in. If there's a situation you feel will damage your progress, then don't tempt yourself. Try to pinpoint where the temptations are the worst for you and try to steer yourself away from them. I like it.
I totally like it. If you know what your weakness is and you know it's coming, just try to avoid it at any cost. It's almost...
If you know Dairy Queen and their vanilla ice cream dipped in butterscotch is a problem for you, then
don't go
drive
there.
Past Dairy Queen on the way to start the job for your project.
It's easier said than done.
My brain.
It's usually easier said than done, but at least when you're conscious of it, then at least brings you that much closer to getting past it and getting through it.
Now here's a big one here. Fear not. What is holding you back? Sometimes there's a fear of success or a fear of failure that will cause your willpower to be deficient. Look into the root of the fear and break it down by not giving into those ugly feelings.
Well, they say, you know, once you look at it and see exactly what it is, then you can actually see past it.
Yeah,
it's
and work
looking
through
at that fear and going, what is it about this that is making me so worried?
And actually coming to that decision and that conclusion means you've taken a big step of self-control, of meeting small goals, of understanding your weaknesses. I mean, you've gone through a lot of these things on the list just by doing that one analyzation of yourself. And don't forget to reward yourself for realizing what the situation is that has stopped you from being successful at something like this in the past. Now, be kind. Be proud of yourself for wanting to improve your life. Be kind to yourself when you fall short. It's okay. There's a lesson you learned from falling short, so it becomes a positive. There are many people that are too lazy to change anything in their lives for the better. Wow, that's a statement and a half. So be proud that you are who you are. Be proud that you are able to move forward in situations. Be proud that you are able to recognize what you are and who you are and love yourself for the person that you discover through this process.
I think a lot of us end up beating ourselves up so much and that we are our worst critics. And that is not going to serve you because all it does is keeps you down and you're actually preventing yourself from getting any further, more so than you realize.
Yeah, well, it keeps you swimming in that pity me party.
In doubt.
Yeah, and it makes it really hard to get out of that little cycle. And, you know, a lot of people have great goals and great things that they want to do, and taking the first step is the hardest step. And I think that this guide to beefing up your willpower actually makes a lot of sense in getting things started, especially when the very first thing is make a decision. Decide why you want to do this. Why has this idea been creeping up in your head for the last 10, 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
Why does it keep coming around?
I think once you clarify exactly what you want, then you know how to get to it. Work backwards if it's a goal that you're setting forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say, I want a new car by January 1st, say, okay, how much money do I need? How much would I have to save on a daily basis, et cetera? And then it becomes bite sizes that you can actually see and go, okay, I can actually get to this goal more so than I thought. And don't just look at it like it's overwhelming, because I think that's what happens to a lot of people. They go, well, I can never get a car by January 1st. And I go, well, how do you know?
Yeah.
Is it because you're thinking of is it a brand new car that you're thinking? Or is it a used car?
You know, and we've seen some really great TV shows that are out, and there's not a whole lot of great TV out there. But I'm referencing a show about bartering where these guys are, some are down home dickerers, and they're in New England area, and they start out with zero money, and they look in magazines, trader magazines, and they go, oh, this guy is looking for this item. And then they look all through until they can find someone who has that item. They buy it from one, sell it to the other, and they make money. So they do stuff with zero money needed. And what's really cool about that is if you're looking to start a fundraiser or start a new company or anything like that, try that angle. Try to barter with people and grow what you need to grow little by little, one step at a time.
Well, that is some great advice. So every week I like to play a song that I've written, and this week is no different. And staying within the theme of gratitude, this is a song I wrote called State of Abundance. And when we begin to focus on what we have as opposed to what we don't have, we begin to realize that we have a lot more than we thought. And I put that into a song lyric, and out came this song. It's a song called State of Abundance. Check it out. Well, that is our show for today. Thank you guys for being part of it. We always love having you out there and having you contribute by letting us know what you think of the show and giving us feedback. So don't forget to check us out at Humanitarian Facebook and HumanitarianRadio.com.
And also check our schedule on SaintTone.com to see where the band is playing and where you can hear some thankful and grateful and gratitude messages and abundant messages and all that fun stuff that we try to pump into your soul. It's good news for your soul. Checking out.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.